Session number 10767, Reel 1.
Mr. Joe Fitzpatrick, Reel 1.
Mr. Fitzpatrick, could you tell me when and where you were born?
Yes, I was born at High Broughton, Warwick Street, High Broughton, Salford, Lancashire, on Christmas Day, 1895. I had a twin sister, Mary, and my mother was married twice. Mr. Sykes first, he had eight, and then my mother married my father again. He had three sons with his first wife, and he had two sons and a daughter with my mother. Where we lived was a very compact community. I would call it a very poor quarter. Two up and two down, and I know what it is to sleep head to toe.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was really a navvy, really, and I think he worked on the Manchester Canal when they were cutting the way through to Liverpool. I know very little of my father because he died when my younger brother was born in November, almost 2 years after my birthday. And so I recollect very little, although I met two of my stepbrothers on his side during the period up to, say, 1910. I met them about twice, just to say hello to. We had a very, very hard time, and my mother used to do washing and whatnot, and we used to take it back when we were able to, and we eventually moved from there. After my father died, it must have been 4 years at least, because my mother was taking me to the doctors at the corner of Great Clough Street and Berrydoo Road, which was a very busy corner at that time, on Storm Tams, and I recollected I didn't walk for a considerable time because my right leg was a little bit deformed.
And what was wrong with it?
I don't know. But I'll give you an idea. Now, you see that? You see, there's not much wrong with that, is there? See? And that is a bigger one. Got it? There's varicose veins being there. See? And that's whiter than that, isn't it? You see? And that's circulation, isn't it? Right. And I remember talking to a lady, and the lady said, "And how's he going?" "Oh, he'll be all right. He'll be all right." And she took me across the road to opposite the royalty hall, big hall now, and to the doctors. And I remember seeing the people about, and some soldiers in khaki and some in red tunics. And also there's a bit of brew coming up from town up Berrydoo Road, and they also use what they call a chain horse, and they give it a lift so far. Most of them were open deckers, and of course if it rained, of course it rained on you. From there we moved. My mother moved to Higher Crumpsall. We went to number 9 Hall Road. It was off Crescent Road. And then we moved from number 9 to 29 Wellington Road. That's the next road to it. And we attended... I attended the RC school at the St Thomas's of Canterbury, which was, I call them, ragged schools.
Before we go on to education, what would these houses be like? What sort of facilities would you have in them?
Well, I think if you go through Preston, you'll see rows and rows of still houses. I don't think you could get a coffin through the door. Similar to that, only those at Preston would be better, I think, than... when they were used during the cotton industry and whatnot. I think that would give you a good idea of what they were like.
And what sort of facilities would you have?
Well, I remember the middens, the open middens, and anybody that went to the toilet, we used the old newspapers, had with a lid on, and then the night soil men used to clean them out. So when it was dark and then midnight, and then they'd swill it away, put chloride down and whatnot to clean the streets. You could always tell where the night soil men had been. And if a female went to the toilet, there was always somebody with her. It wasn't so very pleasant, that. But we moved to Old Road, and it was a water closet, and there was a bath there. So that was a big lift up in life for us.
What about food? Was your mother able to feed you properly?
My mother was an excellent cook, and she'd make a good meal out of anything, I think. Mind of this, we used to have plenty of tater ash, you know. Some people call it Lancashire hot pot. And we knew what margarine was, because it was a little bit cheaper than butter. And we know what bran dripping is. And I used to, when we were there, I used to take milk out. And I used to take dogs out for a gentleman named Mr. Baskerville. He was the editor of our dogs. And he had a little office on the lead up to Oxford Road Station. And he had about half a dozen long-haired and short-haired collies. And when they stood up, they were taller than me. But I used to take them out once a day, and for a considerable number of a couple of years or so. And then I used to take newspapers out. I've done every trade there is, I think, to earn a few coppers. Because I got three bob or three in the tanner a week for my mother, I was doing very well.
What about clothes? Did you go short of clothes?
Well,
or
I wore skirts for a good number of years, and then eventually, I suppose, I got cast-offs.
Was there a close sense of community on the streets at the time or not, Don?
Well, everybody knew the neighbours, and in Salford, you could hear the neighbours next door but one having a fight. And not only that, it was bug-running. You could hear the bugs. You'd find the bugs by running around over the what bit of wallpaper was on, and if it dinted in, well, of course, you got a candle and burnt them. And I remember of a night time when we used to say, I want a drink of water. My sisters had come up and they'd say, ooh, right, get a candle and find a nest of them. But anyway...
What type of bugs were they?
Oh, I don't know. They were bloodsuckers, I suppose. Anyway, we got to...
Was it a happy childhood? I mean, you weren't well...
Well, I was always a roamer. I'd wander off and I'd go for miles and miles. I'd know every blade of grass in Eaton Park, Prestwich Clough, and whatnot. And I played football. But when we went to St. Thomas's of Canterbury, one day three or four of us called at the church next door, which was being built then. So that was the early years of this century. And my mother it was a parqueted floor, and she was scribbling with other ladies. And one lady said, are these yours? She said, yes, some of them. And then we went up to Manley Park, which was a park that was out of the Cheetham Street, which was opened in the early part of this century. And we'd be on the swings and enjoying ourselves as best we could. But coming back to Wellington Road, we went to school at another St. Thomas's opposite the Biscuit Works on Hazelbottom Road, Lower Crumsall, Waterloo Road, Hazelbottom Road, Crumsall. And
was this the ragged school?
And of course, we didn't attend scripture lessons. And then we were moved from then to Mount Carmel on Moston Lane, Moston. And we had a long walk to go through the mumps, we call it through the mumps, by going by the Institute, and down a lane to Lower Crumsall, and it was a Crumsall Hotel at the bottom, and the River Irk was flowing down there. And on the left was Corley Plainfields. a Liberal MP that gave these grounds for the facilities of sport. We turned left and turned up Battery Brew, and we attended Mount Carmel just inside Mustard Lane. And if you were wet through and you were a minute or two late, you had to go into the passage and the voice would say, "And out!" Bang! A strap. Again! And you get about 4 or 5 lashes of the strap, and which I didn't care for, and I thought unjust, even at my younger age. And then eventually the new school had been built in 06, I think, 1906, at Trumpsall Lane Secondary School, and it was out of this world. It was a paradise. And I was 11 years of age. I had 3 years of education. And I learned...
What kind of education had you had at your first two schools, the St Thomas's and the Mount Carmel?
I could say that I knew nothing. Hardly nothing.
Was it bad teaching?
My mother taught at the time. And, of course, she was that busy. She hadn't much time to spend on us as regards education or anything like that, as long as we got out of the road, had a bit of something to eat and get out of the house, that sort of style. So, I mean to say...
But didn't St Thomas's and Carmel teach you anything? What was wrong with
it? I can't recollect anything from St Thomas's and St Thomas's Lower Crumpsall and Mount Carmel. I can't recollect anything that they taught me. But at Crumpsall Lane, a lovely playground, a lovely area, it was very, very enjoyable. And what I learnt there at that school stood me in good stead for my future life.
What was the education? What were you learning there?
Well, we learnt a little bit of French, joinery, with two football coach, a teacher, and a cricket coach, teacher. I know all the names. Mr. Whittaker, Morris, Jones, and it was the head lad, it was British with his gold guard, big walrus moustache, stout, pinstripe trousers, and a long tail coat. And sometimes he used to come into the room, send the teacher for a smoke, and then he would put some little bit of stuff called grammar into you. And eventually I got to like it very much. And I think it's a wonderful thing, grammar, to be taught in schools.
English grammar, you mean?
English grammar. Mind you, we learned a little bit of French. A little bit of French. And not very much, but we did do.
And reading, writing and arithmetic, you'd learnt it then?
We had good teachers at Crumpsall Lane, and exercising, handwriting, and that they were very particular about, I've often been told during my life, "My word, you've got good handwriting, haven't you?" I'm a little bit affected now because of my left eye, the retina has gone, but I managed very well, it got over us, I was very pleased everybody complimented me, but I used to do the exercises. See, writing, and I've been complimented on my writing by several people during my time.
And you put this down to Crumpsall Lane?
I wrote, put any education down at all of the other schools, but that was really excellent.
Were the methods of discipline more reasonable at Crumpsall Lane?
Well, we didn't get the strap. I mean, to say, you'd have to do something very seriously. But they were a different bunch of people. The boys and girls there were a different bunch altogether. They were of the higher standard altogether. We, at our house, we were on the poor side. But still, we were accepted. We were accepted. And while I was there, I used to take milk out for Penderberry's Farm, just behind the school, and they used to call it Ivy House Farm. And Jenny, the youngest daughter of about 17, used to do a round, a local round, with a dairy on two wheels, a drum on two wheels, and you push it by hand. And one morning, it was very, very frosty and icy, and the cowman used to milk the cows that used to be on the corner of opposite the Hermitage in Crumsall Lane, a house called the Hermitage, which which is now an hotel, which I have been in two or three times, and since in later years. And I had to go through an opening in the wall fence. It was a fence, a wall, what I call a wall, flanks, you know, and turn left and go down the cobbles. And what's the name, running away with me. And I slithered and slithered across the road, hit the curb where there was a grid, and run round and lifted it up. And I saved half of it. It held 72 quarts, and I saved half of it, and the other cart with the two sons in and a daughter and another daughter were going towards the Cheetah Mill area, and they said, "What are you doing, Joe? What have you done?" I said, "It run away with me." So after that, the cowman used to leave it outside the Hermitage, opposite the hotel, which is there now. And then I used to go up Hermitage Road and take the necessary amount with a measure and a can and serve up there. And I remember one morning, the houses had a very wide space across. And as I got to the door to knock, a lady opened, she looked blood-eyed and everything. And I looked at her, and she scared me a bit. But I'll never forget that. And while I was up there, to keep me company, I always whistled some tunes at the time.
Did many people order milk in that way?
Oh, yes, they used to leave the jug out. And got a fresh milk, and this altered all the technique in cleaning it and whatnot now today. I don't know whether they've taken the strength out of it. I used to go into the fields and I'd hear a cow mewing, mooey, mooey, mooey. I'd go in there, she'd dropped a calf. I'd go and tell the what's the name, my cowman, and he says, "Right, oh, come on, Joe," and put some straw in the barrow and lifted the calf on, and the old lady used to follow us and we'd put her in the stalls with the calf. I said, and what I used to like was drinking milk, the cow's milk. It was called besom. And sometimes the farmer's wife, she used to make butter, and I used to go and turn the urn for her. And when I'd finished, I'd fill my little belly with the what's name milk. Buttermilk. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was sour, you know, but it was lovely to drink. I used to love it.
Did you have any other jobs that you can remember that you did at the time?
Well, I've already mentioned papers, dogs, and taking milk out.
Didn't all this make you tired with your school as well?
Oh, yeah. When I had a spill with the drum and the milk, I had to go to school with all my my stockings and my feet wet through with milk. I had to go. It made no difference. You got hard to it. You didn't worry. You didn't worry.
What, were you interested in sport or games while you were a youngster?
Well, I was football mad. I played for the school.
This is not rugby league football, but just normal
association football. Oh, yes, and afterwards I played for a team called Cheetham Lads. I've got a photograph of them too. I have a lot of photographs. And we had a real good team of somewhere about 15 to 16 years of age. We used to play on number 3 pitch, which was uphill and downdale at Eaton Park. I sport. I love sport. I can remember the time when Manchester United won the cup in 09. And the other week, I was at Manchester United ground with a party from a little church nearby us here in Blackpool. And I named every one of them that was on the photographs, the team. Moses, Stacey Haig, Moger, Stacey Hayes, Duckworth, Robertson, Bell, Meredith, Hulse, Turnbull, and Wall, Georgie Wall.
That was in 1909.
And they beat Bristol. And on the team of Bristol City was Charlie Wedlock. And he wasn't a very big fellow, but he was a centre-half. And he stopped Charlie Roberts getting very many international caps, although Charlie did play once or twice, but Wedlock was more in favour.
Would you be able to afford to go and see Manchester United much at the time? Could you?
Not at that time. Not at that time. I used to watch Cheetah Mill. They played on Crescent Road, going towards the bridge, and Humphrey Street on the right-hand side, going down towards Lower Crumpson. And they used to have a canvas round the roadside so that people couldn't see. And you used to pay a penny to watch, and the others were threats of folks of Tanner, I don't know which. But I can remember all, most of the players. There was one player played outside left. His name was Charlie Fox. And he got badly injured, wounded in the war, and he finished up at Broughton House, up at Broughton Park, going towards Kersal.
I know it, yeah.
You know it? And he was there, still there at Broughton House, and he was there for many, many years. I knew his family, they lived on Cleveland Road, a pretty large family, and I remember Bumper Wright, and I remember the goalkeeper, Harry Dickinson, and he was also the goalkeeper of the polo team, swimming, at Cheetah Mill. And yes, I used to love sport, perhaps I loved it too much. But
would you ever get to see Man United at all, Manchester United at all, from the papers or something?
No. I played on United's ground. We played the the cinema men, Alf Clark, he finished up as the correspondent, sports correspondent for the Daily Dispatch, and he was killed in the 1958 tragedy. We played this match in a slow storm, I'll never forget it, on United's ground. I've also played on Hyde Road, where Manchester City played. And it was a bit of a mud tip, that really. They had the ground, the dressing room burnt down, and then they moved to Main Road in 1923. I'd never played on Main Road, and the first time I went on Main Road, it was the opening match. A chap named Byrne kicked off. He was the Lord Mayor of Manchester, and the City had a man named an amateur named Woosman. And he always carried an handkerchief in his hand. But he played in that match. City won, I think it was 2-1. And I was right on the middle of the popular side. I said, this is lovely. I said, lovely. But when the ground got full, I couldn't see the fella throwing the ball in at on the near touchline. And for a fortnight, I had a stiff neck.
That was 1923, was it?
1923.
What position did you play when you played football?
I played in every position, but my favourite was left half-back. I can kick with either foot, and I can run like a hare.
And how many times would you play a week when you were...
Well, I got to... I played
before the war?
Before the war. We used to play every Saturday.
That was the Cheetham Lads, was it?
Cheetham Lads, yes. I played for a team in Rhodes for a couple of matches. That's going past Eaton Park towards Middleton. when we folded up Cheetah Mill. And I was often invited, but it was too far to travel, because I used to have to walk it there and walk it back, no matter where it was.
What about other sports?
Well, I did a little bit of cricket with the Chronicle team. That's the Evening Chronicle team.
Before the war, I mean?
Before the war. Oh, no. Before the war. No, I know the sport.
Were you not interested in rugby league football? Because that's very big in the Salford area, isn't it?
Definitely. But I come in contact with the rugby league later, after the war.
Right.
Right.
So, your education, you went to the Crumsall Lane School when you were 11, you say.
Yes.
That would be about 1906, 7.
Yeah.
When, how long
that's were you, when it was opened, yes.
How long were you there for?
Till I was 14.
So that'd be about...
close on 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what, about 1909, perhaps 1909-10, what were you planning to do when you left school? Did you have any plans?
No. I used to get the paper and I used to look at jobs Aaron Boys wanted and this, that and the other. There was a sweet firm in Bury asking for boys, and eventually there was a notice in the paper that boy wanted the printing, letterpress printing, and I went down and I got the job. Well, I was only really an errand boy until a vacancy came for an apprentice.
Before we go on to that, what did you actually have to do as an errand boy for the printing work?
Well, we had a storeman, and he was a bootbinder, a very clever fellow, Harry Oliver from Eden Norris, and a machine man was George, just forget his name, and he had an apprentice. And also in the composer room and the floor higher up was another apprentice. But when this apprentice had finished, of course he's kicked out because there's no room for him there, and this chap named Woodhead, he went to Canada straight away. And I was sent to the doctor up Rochdale Road for a test, and of course I passed the test. But as I liked my Saturday off of a Saturday afternoon, we used to go in the morning at 8 o'clock while 1, and the day work was 8 o'clock while 6, with an hour of for dinner, 1 to 2. And Mr. Gill, the old man, he had a nephew, Billy, that worked in the composing room. He really run the business. But this Mr. Gill, he lived in Trevelyan Street, Ettles. And everybody was on the point of going home, he'd say, tell the boy to stay behind. And of course I used to take messages to the solicitors and this, that and the other. That was when they paid, used to use parchment for wills and all this sort of stuff. And I say of Oliver, to watch him, the boot was something worth watching, with the old glue pot going. And then he used to cut the paper to size of a machine. You turned the handle and the blade went up and down, and you used to turn the handle for him. Well, when Saturday came, the boys stayed behind, I waited behind this machine, and then all of a sudden, boy! And he had a flat, tall hat, short, tall hat, long white beard, a walking stick, and a long coat. And he just looked like Father Time. And he used to come somewhere about 11 o'clock, mostly of a Saturday, but very rare any other time. And I used to check on fruits.